Thank you. Everybody, we welcome you today for Pastor Appreciation. Some of the announcements, we have celebrations this week. Kenny Shanahan on the 21st. Tyler Schaefer's funeral will be Tuesday at 10 a.m. at Zion Lutheran. There will also be a prayer walk for Tyler Schaefer's family in the city of Beulah. Meet at the Civic Center at 6 p.m. for communal prayer, and then we will break off and pray through the streets of Beulah. Wednesday night, Bible study for all ages at 7 p.m. Invite someone. It will be a senior night for rooted youth. There will be a rummage sale and Indian Taco fundraiser this Saturday. The rummage sale is all day, starting 8 p.m. 8 a.m. Indian Taco fundraiser will be 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you can use help for both and then setting up on Friday evening. Okay. I did skip over prayer and worship at 7 p.m. tonight. If you bring items and they do not sell, they need to go back home with you. If you have any questions, please see Shanna. We could use deep fryers, and if anyone has one, we can borrow. Next Sunday will be our graduate celebration service. We'll honor our graduates and have potluck after service. Please bring a dish to share and stay to honor them. Please check your mailboxes in the foyer. Many of them have items in them and they need to be checked. New calendars for May are out in the foyer if you haven't already grabbed one. And then also, we have a rake that pulls behind the mower, and it's disappeared out of the shed. So if anybody knows where that might be, we'd appreciate finding out. So thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Let's stand as we open in prayer today. Lord Jesus, our Savior, we come to you today. We just want to give you our praise and our shouts out of worship and just give you all the glory, Lord, that you deserve. Help us to remember that in the highs and low points of life that you are the one to carry us. You alone, Jesus, are our rock. And when we need strength from all the tough things that our community has went through, all the tough times that families and individuals in our church have went through the last couple of weeks, Lord, it just seems like every day the name on my prayer list is growing, and it's probably the biggest my prayer list has ever been. And Lord, just there's lots of hurt, and Lord, we need you. We need that rock of you in our lives, that constant to carry us through these high points and low points. Help us to run to you every time we have trouble and to remember to give you glory and worship and to see your plan and to see your will when everything is said and done. Lord Jesus, we just want to pray for our students this week as we deal with the passing of one of the classmates and students, Tyler, in our community. Lord, we want to pray over Pastor Justin and Jessica and their family this week and today as we honor them and Pastor Appreciation, just to be thankful for all the things that they've done in our church and are doing in our church and the blessings that their family brings to us. We want to love on them today. Lord Jesus, most of all, let's help us to remember to give you strength. Give us strength as we give you honor and glory and praise throughout our day and throughout our week. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Mistake was giving me the mic on a Sunday that I'm not supposed to have the mic. So I think for Pastor Appreciation, I'm just going to start in this row and just go through and roast all of you. No. We just want to thank everybody for the gifts and the meals and the flowers and for pouring out on our family, not just this week, but the week before. And so it's a joy and an honor to be here to be your pastor. And some churches, from what I hear, make pastoring hard. This is not one of them. So we are very blessed and just we love you all and thank you for loving me and my family and taking care of us and doing it well. So thank you.
I'm not going to say much because you guys know I just cry. But I feel like we've been being appreciated, you know, with DJ leaving. That felt like Pastor Appreciation, just the outpouring of love and prayer and support. Like, we couldn't ask for a better church family, so we love you all so much, and I hope you guys know how much we appreciate you.
as I was thinking about what to preach on for Pastor Appreciation Sunday, I began to think of Psalm 23, which is a famous passage of Scripture. Those that don't know the Bible or never read the Bible somehow have these six verses memorized. When I think of Pastor Justin, I think of a shepherd, a man who cares for his flock, who takes the night watch, who prays earnestly for his people and for his church, as well as I personally want to thank Pastor Justin for just being a mentor and a man of God in my life from 4 years ago, meeting at Four Winds Camp in Big Timber, to now. He's been a mentor, he's been a father, he's been a pastor, he's been a friend at times just throughout these 4 years, and I thank you for that bond that we share, and also for Mama Jessica for feeding me cinnamon rolls, countless cinnamon rolls at the Big Timber Diner, and promising to feed me and fatten me up before I left her house. And it was an instant bond, and she has loved Kira and I as a mom, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to both of y'all for how you have taken us in and cared for both of us, been both a mother and a father to both of us, and as well as a shepherd, which we'll dive into here in a moment. So as I said, I'll be preaching from Psalms chapter 23, and this is a familiar psalm. This is a psalm that has been used to comfort those who are mourning, those who are grieving, and I believe that that is fitting for what has gone on in the community in the last 2 weeks, as well as it has been used as a outline and a guide for those who call themselves shepherds, for those who call themselves pastors. By no means is this supposed to be like a litmus test for Pastor Justin. That's not the goal. I don't want anyone to come up with a checklist and be like, oh, you fit this one and not that one. That's not my goal here today. That's a joke, of course. Don't want to laugh. But anyways. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David has a relationship with God, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And this is not an uncommon analogy throughout Scripture. In Psalms 28, verse 9, he says, David invited the Lord to shepherd the people of Israel and to bear them up forever. In Psalms 80, verse 1, also looks to the Lord as the shepherd of Israel and to lead Joseph like a flock. Isaiah 40, verse 11 tells us that the Lord will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arms. Micah 7, verse 14 invites the Lord to shepherd your people with your staff. Zechariah 13, verse 7 speaks of the Messiah as the shepherd who will be struck and scattered, as quoted in Matthew 26, 31. And in John 10, verse 11, and John 10, 14, Jesus clearly spoke of himself as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep, and who can say, I know my sheep, and I know, and I am known by my own. And Hebrews 13, verse 20 speaks of Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. And Peter 2, 25 calls Jesus the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And 1 Peter 5, 4 declares that Jesus is our chief shepherd. So as a pastor, we follow Christ as our shepherd, as our model, and as our example, and it is laid out who is the shepherd, Christ. For Christ to call himself shepherd, for him to identify as a shepherd, is not for him to identify as a king or as a great position. If you had a shepherd for a son, you had a doctor and a lawyer, likely you'd just mention the doctor and the lawyer, and you would not mention the shepherd's son. The shepherd position was reserved for the lowest or the youngest son in the family, and yet the God of the universe identifies with the shepherd boy. That is to say that the God of the universe has come down to care and to mend for each and every one of us. He is a shepherd. He lives with us. He is a guide, and he is a physician. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say if the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is a shepherd. And as he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes it personal. David had a relationship with the Father. He doesn't say the Lord is a king or the Lord is a ruler or the Lord is my president. Although these positions have authority over us and we know who our president is and they have rule and they have power over us, we do not know him personally. We do not know, and he does not know us personally. He is not impersonal. He's not just a shield and a rock, but he is a God that we can come to in times of need, and he is known by us. And the sheep, he says, my sheep know my voice, and the strangers they will not follow. We know the voice of the shepherd, but he also speaks to us, and he knows each one of us. We would not get a formal letter. None of us have ever received a formal letter from the president, but we all have received a letter from Christ personally written to each one of us in the Word of God. So the first thing is, the Lord is my shepherd. He is personal. If he is a shepherd to no one else, if he is a shepherd unto me. David is saying if he doesn't care for anyone else, he cares and he watches over me and he takes care of me. But for David to identify God as a shepherd, he first has to identify with the sheep. You see, a sheep was not a wild animal. A sheep, they were an object of property, and they were oftentimes bought with a very high price. And we were bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, David felt that he needed a shepherd, and this psalm does not connect to the self-sufficient or the prideful or those who view themselves as the shepherd of their lives, as the rulers of their lives, as the ones that are in control of their life. And as we know through the fall, when Satan tricked Eve and said, you will be as God, the roles were reversed, and we oftentimes view ourselves as in control of our lives, but we must humble ourselves before God and take on the mindset and the heart of the sheep and be willing to follow the good shepherd. Before we ever can call him shepherd, we must take the heart of the sheep. We must identify with the sheep. We cannot defend ourselves, nor can we take care of ourselves, nor can we fend off any predators. But sheep are helpless without their shepherd. They have no natural self-defense. They don't have claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They have nothing to defend themselves from predators, and they are in need of the shepherd to both lead and guide them, as most sheep are actually born blind or with some type of seeing deficiency. So not only can they not defend off predators, nor can they see them coming, nor can they find calm rivers or green pastures without the leading of the shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This means that my needs are both supplied by the shepherd, and everything that is not supplied or given by the shepherd, I will not desire, or I do not have a heart for. That the Lord will give me everything that I need, and I need no more, or I need not find satisfaction in anything else that is not from God. In verse 2 it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. And this is how the Lord sustains us. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down. And some of us, and myself included, need to be made to lie down, because us as Christians, us as believers, us as human beings oftentimes don't know what we need. We don't know that we need rest, or we try and avoid rest, or we think that if I lie down and then I have to realize where I am, and we are in panic mode and we don't allow ourselves to rest. We don't allow ourselves to be restored. We don't allow ourselves to heal. We don't allow ourselves to mend. We think that if we go, then one day the pain will leave. But the Lord says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. As a sheep oftentimes doesn't know, oftentimes we forget the basic needs of life. I know there are some days and some weeks or some days where I'm so busy that I forget to eat or I forget to drink, and the headache comes and I'm like, oh wait, it's 8 p.m. and I haven't drank anything all day. So often we forget what we need most, the things that sustain life, things that we need day by day, we oftentimes forget, and we need our shepherd and our Lord to give us those things. We need our daily bread. We need to spend time with God. We need to spend time in His Word. We need to spend time in prayer day by day and moment by moment, because it is as necessary as drinking water or eating food. It says He leads me to green pastures and still water. Sheep, knowing that they are defenseless, knowing that they cannot fight off prey, they will not rest, they will not lay down, they will not cease to watch for the predators unless they know that they are safe. They know that they're in a place where they can rest. They know that sheep will not rest if they are not well fed. They will not rest if they are anxious. They will not rest if they are in danger. So that means that the shepherd of God must provide a place that is safe, a place that is comfortable, a place that where the sheep are fed. And God is faithful to lead us. He doesn't lead us to a place where a famine, or He doesn't lead us into a place that is scarce or where water. He doesn't lead us into desert. He leads us into green pastures. Which, who's thankful for the grass outside? The drought is gone, and we finally have green grass. We may not have leaves on the trees, but at least we have grass. I guess we got to plant more trees for them to bud. But He leads us to a place of comfort and a place of care and a place of rest. And He restores, in verse 3, He restores my soul, and He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me, He restores my soul, restores. He restores my soul. The gentle care of the Lord, the gentle, tender heart of the Lord restores my soul. And restoration carries with it the idea of rescue, the idea of repentance, the idea of being saved, of caring for the spiritual needs. You see, He says He restores my soul that was born apart from God, my soul that was born in sin, my soul that was desired fleshly things, my soul that desired the things of this world. He restores it to which He intended it to be, an object of His glory, created for His namesake. He not only cares for our physical needs, but He cares for our spiritual needs. When we are exhausted, He makes us lie down in green pastures. But when our souls go astray, He restores us, and He cares for us, and He brings us in. He brings us in as the sheep gone astray, and He carries us back on His shoulders. He restores us and carries us back into the fold when we go astray. And it's in those times when we go astray that oftentimes we learn to depend on the Lord. You see, God meets David's directional needs. It says He leads me beside. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. He leads me. I don't need to know where the green pastures are. I don't need to know where the still waters are. I don't need to know the map. I don't need to know the game plan. I don't need to know what today holds. All I need to know is that the shepherd is the one who leads me in paths of righteousness. He is the one that I need to follow. He is the one that I need to trust in. And He is the God that will lead. We don't need to know where the green pastures are or the calm waters are, but we need to trust the shepherd, for it is His name that is on the line. It's for His name's sake that He leads us. It is for His glory and His honor and His praise that He leads us. It is for Him that He leads us and He loves us, so that people may say, or that we may say at the end of our lives, or after a long dry season, we may say that the Lord has led us through, that the Lord has carried us through, that we may lift and praise and glorify His name when we were healed, when we were restored, when we were delivered, when we were able to stay calm and stay at peace, and when the storms of life seem so heavy. In verse 4, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This verse oftentimes, I mean, it seems out of place. I just got done talking about green pastures and calm waters and the Lord leading us down the path of righteousness, or leading us down the right path. And oftentimes the right path, or the path that God has chosen for each one of us to walk, is not the one that makes sense. As I heard Pastor praying over the teens this morning, and thank you, Apple, for pausing service and having that. You don't ever need to apologize for the leading of the Holy Spirit and moving God, because we really, truly need that in this time and day. But there are things that have gone on in the last 2 weeks that just don't make sense. There's not an answer for it. There's not a reason for DJ being taken back into Montana. There's not a reason for Tyler's death. There's no logical answer to wrap their head around. And any person in this room, no one in here would see a reason why or a logical answer for those paths to take place, for those paths to lead. Or if we were to look at the path, or the full path that God is going to lead each and every one of us down this life, most of us wouldn't choose it. It's not a path. Life isn't the path that that God leads us down. Oftentimes is not a path that is smooth or easy. It has bumps. It has challenges. It has things that are hard in it. And yet he says, I'll lead you in paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The right path oftentimes goes through the valley of shadow of death. And it says it is a valley. It is not a mountain top. It is not like North Dakota, where you can see for 30, 40, 50 miles. It is a valley hemmed in on both sides, where you get your in front and in back. If you're in a valley, you're between two mountains, and oftentimes you can't see over them, you can't see through them, you can't see around them, and you're hemmed in on both sides. That yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It says the shadow of death. As Christians, as believers, as those who have taken on the death of Christ and now live a life through Him, we no longer have to go through death, but we do live in the shadow of it. We live in the shadow of this world. We live in darkness. We live in the shadow of sin. We live in a world that is ruled by the prince and powers of the heirs of this darkness. We live in a world that is affected by sin and death. When this world was created, death was not intended to be a part of life. It was not supposed to be there. It's not a natural occurrence. Death is a very real thing, but it's something that God never intended to happen when He, in the Garden of Eden, we were intended to live forever with God. Then sin, death, and decay entered this world, and now through Christ, through salvation, we now live in the shadow of death. We now live in the shadow of sickness. We now live in the shadow of depression. We now live in the shadow of anxiety, because we are in this world, and we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death to kind of But it says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, to go through, to walk through, that this is not our destination, that this is not our dwelling place. And although the valley of the shadow of death for some may last their entire life, your entire life, it is still not your dwelling place, and it's still not your destination. It's still not a place to be dwelled in. It is, though I walk through, there is an end. And for some, that end will be today. And for some, the end of the valley of the shadow of death will be in a couple months, or a couple of years, and some will live their whole lives in the same shadow of the valley of death. But it is a walk and not a run. It is a walk and not a sprint. It is a walk and not a panic, because we know who we are with and who is leading us. And it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Though death surrounds us, though darkness surrounds us, though we are on this world that is ruled by the prince and powers of the heirs, and the works of work are dark, we will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil, and I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will be at peace, and I will be at rest, because you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When he speaks of your rod and staff, shepherds oftentimes carried a stick with them, a staff to pull them back and for the shepherd to lean on, but also a staff to keep predators at bay, one instrument to serve two purposes, both to comfort the sheep, but also to keep back the predators that intend to harm the sheep. That God will both correct us and he will protect us when we need it. And in verse 5 it says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He doesn't prepare a table for us. He doesn't say, I have a table for you waiting on the other side of this valley. I have a table waiting for you once you get through this. I have a table for you once you are healed. Yes, there is a marriage supper of the lambs that is waiting for all of us in eternity. But he prepares a table for us right now in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death when we are surrounded by our enemies. The shepherd is not only the one that will protect us in the valley, but he will feed and care for us. That we can all sit with confidence knowing that he will take care of us and that we can feast in perfect security. Where he says, it is in the presence of my enemies that the table is prepared. In the presence, it doesn't mean that we leave. The enemies don't leave just because we're having dinner. The enemies don't leave just because we're having a feast. No, the enemies are actively present and actively working to get in the house. It's like, what was it, Thursday night we had those thunderstorms? Which if we have a thunderstorm, I invite you all to come and to the upper room and just lay on the floor and listen to the storm, like the storm and the hail and the rain was beating against the house of God, and yet we were dry and perfectly safe. Like we heard the hail, we heard the lightning, we heard the thunder, and the storm raged. And there were a couple times we went downstairs to look at the storm, and you would think that the trees were getting bent in half, but we look outside and it's light rain, light drizzle, but we were safe and we were secure in the house of the Lord. Although we could hear the storm, although we could hear the rain, we were safe and we were dry and we were comforted in the house of the Lord. You see, the shepherd did not eliminate the presence of the enemies, but he prepared a feast before us. And this is a feast. David is not grabbing a Clif bar or a protein bar or a snack and then running out back to battle. It's a feast. It's filet mignon with lobster and potatoes. It's barbecue. It's a full pork feast like we're going to have after service with Bob's Barbecue, which really looking forward to that. And I'm trying to close so that we may eat. Because I'm hungry. I don't know about y'all. He was telling me about it yesterday, and I've been licking my lips ever since 10:30 last morning. So we will eat eventually. So he's not grabbing a quick snack and getting back in the fight. He's reclining at the table, knowing that he's in perfect security, that the enemy may be at the door, but knowing that I am secure in the shepherd, and I need not worry or hurriedly eat. This is not like trying to grab a snack between wrestling matches. This is a full-blown feast that he lays before us. He says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runneth over. That God will give us more than enough. That he will fill our cup. It's not just, Lord, will you get me through today? Or I need you to get me through this moment, Lord. No, he will give us enough faith and enough oil and enough provision to carry us through the entire fight, however long it be. We just need to trust him. And I ask the question, what if God only filled your cup to the proportion of your faith? Would there be anything in your cup? Do you have the faith to know that God is the God of protection, that although the enemies are at the door, although the darkness is there, we have provision in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, that he prepares a feast before us, and we need not hurry or be anxious. We can rest in the arms of our Savior, knowing that he cares for us. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That goodness and mercy will follow us all the days, not just today, but tomorrow, not just tomorrow, but the next day, and for our entire lives. Surely goodness and mercy will follow all of us all the days of our lives. That whether I get out of the valley of shadow of death tomorrow or in 10 years, the Lord is with me, and that his goodness and mercy will follow me all the way through, and that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that the presence of the Lord is not just in the building at Prairie View Church of God, but he is someone that we can walk with and be with all the days of our lives. And I want to close with Exodus 17, verse 10 through 13. And I'm going to have Pastor Justin and Mama Jessica and all the kids come up. And I want to pray over them. And I want to pray over them in the manner in which is demonstrated to us in Exodus 17, verse 10 through 13. It says, so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands on one side and the other side. And his hands were steady until going down, until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So I want Pastor Justin, Mama Jessica, and the whole countryman family to come up here. And I want the council and those who feel led to lift up their arms. And if you feel led to let them sit on you and be the stone, you're more than welcome to. But I just ask that y'all come forward and we pray and we lift them up, because as Pastor Justin and his family shepherd this flock, we want to care for them and pray for them in the midst of battles, in the midst of trials with the loss of DJ, but also just like the day in and day out life that happens in ministry. They need us to support them as much as they support us. So y'all are welcome to come forward. So as y'all are heading back to your seats, I want to leave with this. The psalm preceding Psalms 23 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? And that leads into, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The valley of darkness that David is speaking of is one that is truly dark. My God, why have you forsaken me? But yet he cries out, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing in the midst of darkness. So,
yeah. All right, everyone, we're just going to close in prayer and then dismiss quick, if you'd want to stand. Lord Jesus, we just want to raise our hands to you today and just give you thanks for this day of prayer and just continue the path that you're leading this church on. When someone is hurting, when we have need for somebody, we are gathering at this altar and putting our hands in a circle around this person and letting your spirit work. We're so thankful for that, Lord Jesus, and just help us to remember Logan's words today of Psalm 23, that you are a shepherd. You are leading us and you have been leading us. Continue to lead us through those down times and up times, because you know the end path and the end game for us is in heaven with you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.